Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah Dave, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, down south of the 12th Hour, Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is June 5, 2017, or Sibian 11, 2021. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Come the fount of every blessing, in my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mountain, fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming law. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither for thy help I'm come. And I hope by thy good pleasure, safely to arrive at home. Dost besought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of yore, he to rescue me from danger, interpose his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy grace, y'all, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wonder, y'all, feel it, prone to leave y'all alone. Here's my heart, y'all, take and seal it for thy course above. Part 17, Born Again, we're going to continue where I left off from a compilation by Catherine Brunken. It says on page 13, Yahshua came to destroy the works of the devil, and him was life. And he says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He is a quickening spirit, 1 John 3:8, John 1:4, and 10:10. 1 Corinthians 15:45, and he still has the same life-giving power as when on earth he healed the sick and spoke forgiveness unto the sinner. He forgiveth all thine iniquity. He healeth all thy diseases. Psalms 103:3. Isaiah 53:59-60. But where they could not obtain the needed prophecy, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. The people were thronging after the Yahshua, anxious to be healed, and eager to listen unto his words. Many felt drawn unto him, for he seemed to them to be the fountain of all blessing. Many of those who then thronged about Yahshua to receive the precious boon of the health accepted him as their Savior. Many others, afraid then to confess him because of the Pharisees, were converted at the descent of the Holy Spirit and before the angry priests and rulers acknowledged him as the son of Elohim. Isaiah 53:59. But now Yahshua longed for retirement that he might be with his disciples, for he had much to say unto them in their work. They had passed through the test of conflict and had encountered opposition in various forms. Hitherto they had consulted Yahshua in everything, but for some time they had been alone, and at times they had been much trouble to know what to do. They had found much encouragement in their work, for Yahshua did not send them away without his Spirit. And by the faith in him, that is, the faith in his blood, They worked many miracles, but they needed now to feed on the bread of the life. For they needed to go unto a place of the retirement where they could hold communion with the Yahshua and receive instruction for the future work. Isaiah 3:60. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. Yahshua is full of the tenderness and compassion for all in his service. He would show his disciples that Elohim does not require sacrifice but mercy. They had been putting their whole souls into the labor for the people, and this was exhausting their physical and mental strength. It was their duty to rest. Isaiah 3:60. As the disciples had seen the success of their labors, they were in danger of taking credit unto themselves, in danger of cherishing the spiritual pride and thus falling under the Satan's temptation. A great work was before them, and first of all they must learn that their strength was not in self, but in Elohim, like Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, like David among the hills of Judea, or Elijah by the brook Cherith. The disciples needed to come apart from the scenes of their busy activity to commune with the Yahshua, with nature, and with their own hearts. Isaiah 3:60. While the disciples had been absent on their missionary tour, Yahshua had invited other towns and villages preaching the gospel. Yahshua had visited other towns and villages preaching the gospel of the kingdom. It was about this time that he received tidings of the Baptist's death. This event brought vividly before him the end to which his own steps were tending. The shadows were gathering thickly about his path. Priests and rabbis were watching to compass his death. Spies hung upon his steps, and on every hand plots for his ruin were multiplied. News of the preaching of the apostles throughout the Galilee reached Herod, calling his attention unto Yahshua and his work. This is John the Baptist, he said. He is risen from the dead. And he expressed a desire to see Yahshua. Herod was in constant fear lest a revolution might be secretly carried forward with the object of unseating him from the throne and breaking the Roman yoke from the Jewish nation. Among the people, the spirit of the discontent and insurrection was rife. It was evident that Yahshua's public labors in Galilee could not be long continued. The scenes of his suffering were drawing near, and he longed to be apart for a season from the confusion of the multitude. Isaiah 3:60. Little did the Jews realize the terrible responsibility involved in the rejection of Isaiah 6:19 and 6:20. Little did the Jews realize the terrible responsibility involved in the rejection of the Yahshua. From the time when the first innocent blood was shed and righteous Abel fell by the hand of Cain, the same history had been repeated. With increasing guilt, in every age prophets had lifted up their voices against the sins of kings, rulers, and people, speaking the words which the Elohim gave them and obeying his will at the peril of their lives. From generation to generation, there had been heaping up a terrible punishment for the rejecters of the light and truth. This the enemies of Yahshua are now drawing down upon their own heads. The sin of the priests and rulers was greater than that of any preceding generation. By the rejection of the Savior, they were making themselves responsible for the blood of all the righteous men slain from Abel unto Yahshua. They were about to fill to overflowing their cup of iniquity, and sin as it was to be poured upon their heads in the retributive justice of this. Yahshua warned them, Isaiah 6:18. that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. Isaiah 6:19. The scribes and Pharisees who listened unto Yahshua knew that his words were true. They knew how the prophet Zacharias had been slain, while the words of the warning from Elohim was upon his lips, a satanic fury seized the apostate king, and at his command the prophet was put to death. His blood had imprinted itself upon the very stones of the temple court and could not be erased. It remained to bear testimony against apostate Israel as long as the temple should stand. There would be the stains of that righteous blood crying to Elohim to be avenged. As Yahshua referred to these fearful sins, a thrill of horror ran through the multitude. Isaiah 6:19. Looking forward, Yahshua declared that the impenitence of the Jews and their intolerance of the Elohim's servants would be the same in the future as it had been in the past. Isaiah 6:19. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall you scourge in your synagogue and persecute them from city to city, prophets and wise men, full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Stephen, James, and many others would be condemned and slain with the hand uplifted unto heaven. Under divine light and shrouding his person, Yahshua spoke as a judge unto those before him. His voice that had so often been heard in the gentleness and entreaty was now heard in rebuke and condemnation. The listeners shuddered. Never was the impression made by his words and his look to be effaced. Isaiah 6:19. Yahshua's indignation was directed against the hypocrisy, the gross sin by which men were destroying their own soul, deceiving the people and dishonoring Elohim. In the spacious deceptive reasoning of the priests and rulers, he discerned the working of the Satan agencies. Keen and searching had been his denunciation of the sin, but he spoke no words of the retaliation. He had a holy wrath against the prince of darkness, but he manifested no irritated temper. So the children who live in harmony with Elohim, possessing the sweet attributes of the love and mercy, will feel a righteous indignation against sin, but he will not be aroused by passion to revile those who revile him. Even in meeting those who are moved by a power from beneath to maintain falsehood in the Yahshua, he will still preserve calmness and self-possession. Isaiah 6:19. Divine pity marked the countenance of the son of Elohim as he cast one lingering look upon the temple and then upon his hearers. And a voice choked by the deep anguish of the heart and bitter tears, he exclaimed, O Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and she would not. This is the separation struggle and the lamentation of the Yahshua. The very heart of Elohim is pouring itself forth. It is the mysterious farewell of the long-suffering love of the deity. Isaiah 6:20. Pharisees and Sadducees were alike silent. Yahshua summoned his disciples and prepared to leave the temple, not as one defeated and forced from the presence of his adversary, but as one whose work was accomplished. He retired a victor from the contest. Desire Vedic 620. The gentle truth that fell from Yasuda's lips on that eventful day were treasured in the many hearts. For them, new thoughts started into life, new aspirations were awakened, and a new history began. After crucifixion and resurrection of Yasuda, these persons came to the front and fulfilled their divine commission with a wisdom and zeal corresponding unto the greatness of the work. They bore a message that appealed unto the hearts of men, weakening the old superstitions that had long dwarfed the lives of the thousands. Before their testimony, human theories and philosophies became as idle fable. Mighty were the results flowing from the words of the Savior unto that wondering, awestruck crowd in the temple of Jerusalem. Desire of Ages 620. But Israel, as a nation, had divorced herself from Elohim. The natural branches of the olive tree were broken off. Looking for the last time upon the interior of the temple, Yahshua said with a mournful pathos, "Behold, your house is left unto your destiny. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Master." Okay, now this is interesting. Elijah comes in the name of the Yahweh, Eliyahu, two parts of Yahweh's name, the Father. Okay, and he comes before Yahshua, before the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh, of the Yahshua. So Yahshua said to them, "You shall not see me henceforth till you shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Yahweh." All right, now you will read Malachi 3 and 4, and you'll find out that the same description is talked about Elijah, Eliyahu. He came in the name of the Father, and he's a messenger of the covenant. And Yahshua came to the holy temple right after him. Okay. Hitherto he had called the temple his Father's house, but now, as the son of the Elohim should pass out from those walls, Elohim's presence would be withdrawn forever from the temple built unto his glory. Henceforth his ceremony would be meaningless, his services a mockery. Desire of Ages 620. 5T, 239, 240. Paul urges the Ephesians to preserve unity and love. "I therefore, the prisoner of Yahweh, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another, in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called and one hope of your calling. One Master, one faith, one baptism, one Elohim and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." That's found in Testimonies, Volume 5, 239. The Apostle exhorts his brethren to manifest in their lives the power of the truth which he had presented unto them. By the meekness and gentleness, forbearance and love, they were to exemplify the character of Yahshua and the blessings of his salvation. There is but one body and one Spirit, one Master, one faith, as members of the body of Yahshua. All believers are animated by the same Spirit and the same hope. Divisions in the church dishonor the religion of the Yahshua before the world and give occasion unto the enemy of the truth to justify their course. Paul's instructions were not written alone for the church in his day. Elohim designed that this should be sent down unto us. What are we doing to preserve unity in the bonds of peace? 5T 239. When the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the early church, the brethren loved one another. They did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising Elohim and having favor with all the people, and the Master added unto the church daily such as should be saved. Those primitive Christians were few in numbers. without wealth or honor, yet they exerted a mighty influence. The light of the world shone out from them. They were a terror to evildoers, wherever their character and their doctrines were known. For this cause they were hated by the wicked and persecuted even unto death. 5 Peter 2:39. The standard of holiness is the same today as in the days of the apostles. Neither the promises nor the requirements of Elohim have lost all of their force. But what is the state of the Yahweh's professed people as compared with the early church? Where is the spirit and power of the Elohim, which then attended the preaching of the gospel? Alas, how is the gold become dim? How is the most fine gold changed? 5 Peter 2:40. Resolve, page 827-833. The first disciples went forth preaching the word. They revealed God's truth in their lives, and the Master worked with them, confirming the word with signs following. Mark 16:20. These disciples prepared themselves for their work before the day of the Pentecost. They met together and put away all differences. They were of one accord. They believed Yahshua's promise that the blessing would be given. And they prayed in faith. They did not ask for a blessing for themselves merely. They were weighted with the burden for the salvation of souls. The gospel was to be carried to the uttermost parts of the earth. And they claimed the endowment of power that Yahshua had promised. Then it was that the Holy Spirit was poured out, and thousands were converted in a day. Isaiah 8:27. So it may be now, instead of man's speculation, that the word of Elohim be preached, that Christians put away the dissensions and give themselves unto Elohim for the saving of the lost. Let them in faith ask for the blessing, and it will come. For the outpouring of the Spirit in the apostles' day was a former rain, and glorious was the result. But the latter rain will be more abundant. Joel 2:23, Isaiah 8:27. Well, you see now, Sister White is saying here that the outpouring of the Spirit in the apostles' day was the former rain. I have a little problem with that, and I always have had, because the former rain falls to put seed into the ground, and it falls in the spring. It falls, and that's your former rain, around Passover time. To get things to growing. And the latter rain falls in the summer before the harvest of the wheat. The former rain is to ripen the grain, the barley harvest, the wave sheaf harvest. It has to be waved at the Passover time. That's what the former rain is for. The latter rain is to bring forth the outpouring of the Holy Spirit symbol on the day of Pentecost. Okay, so I'm saying, yeah, they had a former rain and a latter rain back then. Because that latter rain is what brought forth to give the empowered the 120 on the day of Pentecost to be able to do their mighty work of converting first the people that were responsible for joining in and crucifying Yahshua. There was a good many of them converted on that day. And after that, they added 3,000 more souls unto them. They had come in from all the regions round about. So that was the result of the latter rain. But it says that in the prophecy of the last days, the former and the latter rain falls together in the first month. So that's a different story. And that happened in Kermit, Texas at the Passover 2002. We had the former and the latter rain coming together. In other words, the former rain covered all the way from the Apostles' Day, when the Passover they had with Yahshua, the former rain, covered all the way clear down to the Passover 2002. That's a former rain of truth. It's not the literal physical rain. But it's a former rain of truth, and it fell together. And what was the purpose of it? It was a purpose of showing that you're going to have to bring an end to the former rain, and the latter rain of truth has to start being taught. And the reason why is because you have a first fruits harvest that has to come forth, the 144,000 on the day of, antitypical day of Pentecost, as a result of the former rain. So, the 144,000 had been taught ever since Ellen G. White in 1844 came on the scene. Had been understood. Everybody wanted to bring it forth. They wanted to bring forth the 144,000, but it wasn't understood. And the 144,000 are represented by the wheat. The former rain ripens the barley, which represents the first of the first fruits, the wave sheaf offering. Okay, let's go on. So it says, the Savior longs to manifest His grace and stamp His church on the whole world. It is His purchased possession, and He desires to make men free and pure and holy, and through Satan's work to hinder this purpose, yet through the blood shed for the world, there are triumphs to be achieved that will bring glory unto Elohim and the Lamb. For the Yahshua will not be satisfied till the victory is complete. And he shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. Isaiah 53:11. All the nations of the earth shall hear the gospel of His grace. Not all will receive His grace, but a seed shall serve Him. It shall be accounted unto the Master for a generation. Psalms 22:30. Now I'm going to revise that statement I just read there. I'm going to go back and reread it. All the nations of the earth shall hear the plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua. And not all will receive this teaching of the new and living way through the blood of the Yahshua. But a seed shall serve Him. It shall be accounted to the Master for a generation. Psalms 22:30. For the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given unto the people of the saints of the Most High, and the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Master. As I don't know why we don't put Yahshua in the place of the Master there, and I guess we should. As the waters cover the sea, so shall they fear the name of the Yahshua from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun. Okay, and it says Daniel 7:27, Isaiah 11:9, Isaiah 59:19, Desire of Ages 8:27. The first disciples went forth preaching the word. They revealed Yahshua in their lives, and Yahshua worked with them, confirming the word with signs following. Mark 16:20. The disciples prepared themselves for their work. Before the day of the Pentecost, they met together and put away all differences. They were of one accord. They believed Yahshua's promise that the blessing would be given, and they prayed in the faith. They did not ask for a blessing for themselves merely. They were weighted with the burden for the salvation of the soul. For the gospel or the plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua was to be carried unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And I'm going to do that again. For the faith in the blood of the Yahshua, plan of salvation being taught through the everlasting covenant, was to be carried into the uttermost parts of the earth. And they claimed the endowment of the power that Yahshua had promised. And it was that the Holy Spirit was poured out and thousands were converted in a day. Desire of Ages 8:27. Now remember, when the Holy Spirit is poured out, it is on the day of the Pentecost. It has to be on a Pentecost. So it may be now. So that's one way of Yahweh knowing who to give His Spirit to, who to pour His Spirit upon. Those that prepared themselves and put all sin out of their lives and meet with Him at His divine appointments. And the Pentecost is certainly one of His divine appointments. And when you come there with no sin against your record because you've been washed by the blood of the Yahshua through the sanctuary up to that point, then He knows who to pour His Spirit out upon. And then He knows then that you will be effective for Him because you have no sin in your life. And you don't have any propensity to sin. So it may be now, instead of man's speculation, that the word of the Elohim be preached, that apostolic believers put away their dissension and give themselves unto Elohim for the saving of the lost. Let them in the faith ask for the blessing, and it will come. For the outpouring of the Spirit in the apostolic days was a former rain, and glorious was the result. But the latter rain will be more abundant. Joel 2:23, Desire of Ages 8:27. See, and I don't know how Ellen G. White could write about the former and the latter rain and not realize that the latter rain happened on the day of Pentecost with the apostles. And the latter rain is not the outpouring of the Holy Spirit either. The latter rain is a message that's attended by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's another the discrepancy that we've always taught. Because the oil represents the Spirit as a symbol of the Spirit, and the oil represents truth. All right, let's go on. So it may be now, instead of man's speculations, let the word of Elohim be preached, that Christians put away their dissensions and give themselves unto Elohim for the saving of the lost. Let them in the faith ask for the blessing, and it will come. For the outpouring of the Spirit in the apostolic days was a former rain, and glorious was the result, but the latter rain will be more abundant. Joel 2:23. Desire of Ages 8:27. So you see, Joel's prophecy before the cross met its fulfillment with the apostles in his day. And that was a type, because it literally happened to the apostles and the first kingdom set up with them, called the Kingdom of Grace. Kingdom of Heaven, the Kingdom of Grace, is a temporal kingdom, but nonetheless, it was the beginning, and this here eternal kingdom that we are into right now is just the second half of that temporal kingdom. Okay. All who consecrate soul, body, and spirit unto Elohim will be constantly receiving a new endowment of the physical and mental power for the inexhaustible supply of the heaven are at their command. Yahshua gives them the breath of His own Spirit, the life of His own life. The Holy Spirit puts forth its highest energies to work in the heart and mind. The grace of the Elohim enlarges and multiplies their faculties, and every perfection of the divine nature come to their assistance in the work of saving souls. Through cooperation with the Yahshua, they are completely Him, and in their human weakness, they are enabled to do the deeds of the Omnipotent. It's already 8:27. For the Savior longs to manifest His grace and stamp His character on the whole world. It is His purchased possession, and He desires to make men free and pure and holy though the Satan works to hinder this purpose. Yet through the blood shed for the world, there are triumphs to be achieved that will bring glory unto Elohim and the Lamb. For the Yahshua will not be satisfied till the victory is complete. And he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Isaiah 53:11. All the nations of the earth shall hear the plan of salvation of his grace. Not all will receive His grace, but His seed shall serve Him. It shall be accounted to Yahshua for His generation. Psalms 23:30. For the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom of the whole heaven shall be given unto the people of the saints of the Most High. And the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Yahshua as the waters cover the sea. So shall they fear the name of the Yahshua from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun. Daniel 7:27, Isaiah 11:9, and 59:19, Zechariah 8:27-4. All right, let's fast forward to the last paragraph on page 18. It said, these angels were of the company that had been waiting in a shining cloud to escort Yahshua into His heavenly home. The most exalted of the angels' song, they were the two who had come to the tomb of the Yahshua's resurrection, and they had been with Him throughout His life on earth. With eager desire, all heaven had waited for the end of His tarrying in a world marred by the curse of sin. The time had now come for the heavenly universe to receive their King. Not the two angels long to join the throng that welcomed Yahshua, but in sympathy and love for those whom He had led, they waited to give them comfort. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of the salvation? Hebrews 1:14, Isaiah 8:32. Yahshua had ascended to heaven in the form of humanity, for the disciples had beheld the cloud receive Him. For the same Yahshua had walked and talked and prayed with them, who had broken bread with them, who had been with them in their boat on the lake, and who had that very day toiled with them up the ascent of the Olivet. For the same Yahshua had now gone to share His Father's throne. And the angels had assured them that the very one whom they had seen go up into the heaven would come again even as He had ascended. He will come with the clouds, and every eye shall see Him. For the Master Himself shall descend from the heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of Elohim. And the dead in Yahshua shall rise. For the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him. Then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, Revelation 1:7, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, and Matthew 25:31. Thus will be fulfilled the Master's own promise unto His disciples. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. John 14:3. Will not the disciples rejoice in the hope of their Master's return? Isaiah 8:32. 9 Testimonies 1:96. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is the truth. As Thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And as for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. 9:196. Now they pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe in me through their word, and they all, that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. John 17:17-21. 196:2. It should be understood that perfect unity among the laborers is necessary to the successful accomplishment of the work of the Elohim. In order to preserve peace, all must seek wisdom from the great teacher. Let all be careful how they introduce ambitious propositions that will create dissension. 9T196. We ought to be subject one to another. No man in himself is a complete whole. Through submission of the mind and will to the Holy Spirit, we are ever to be learners of the great teacher. 9T196. Study the second chapter of Acts. In the early congregation, the Spirit of Elohim wrought mightily through those who were harmoniously united on the day of the Pentecost. They were all with the one accord in one place. 19:196. We are to demonstrate unto the world that men of every nationality are one in the Yahshua Messiah, and let us remove every barrier and come into the unity in the service of the Master. 19:196. It says, those who have departed from the faith will come to our congregation to divert our attention from the work that the Elohim would have done. You cannot afford to turn your ears from the truth and the fables. Do not stop to try to convert the one who is speaking words of reproach against your work. Let it be seen that you are inspired by the Spirit of Yahshua Messiah, and angels of the Elohim will put into your lips words that will reach the hearts of the opposers. If these men persist in pressing their way in, those who are of a sensible mind in the congregation will understand that yours is the highest standard. So speak that it will be known that Yahshua Messiah is speaking through you. 19:148. If our ministers realize how soon the inhabitants of the world are to be arranged before the judgment seat of the Elohim for the answering of the deeds done in the body, how honestly they would work together with the Elohim to present the truth, how untimely they would labor to advance Elohim's cause in the world, proclaiming in word and deed the end of all things is at hand. 1 Peter 4:7, Testimonies 9:149. Prepare to meet thy Elohim is a message we are everywhere to proclaim. For the trumpet is to give a certain sound. Clearly and distinctly the warning is to ring out. Babylon the great is fallen as far. Come out of her, my people, that she be not partakers of her sin, that she receive not of her plague. Revelation 18:2-4. For the words of this scripture are to be fulfilled. Soon the last test is to come unto all the inhabitants of the earth. At that time, prompt decision will be made. Those who have been convicted under the presentation of the word will range themselves under the blood-stained banner of the Prince Emmanuel. They will see and understand as never before. They have missed many opportunities for doing the good they ought to have done. They will realize that they have not worked as zealously as they should to seek and save the lost, to snatch them, as it were, out of the fire. 9T149. It says that on the day of the Pentecost, the Infinite One revealed Himself in the power unto the congregation. By His Holy Spirit He descended from the heights of the heaven as a rushing mighty wind into the room in which the disciples were assembled. It was as if for the ages this influence had been held in the restraint. And now heaven rejoiced in being able to pour upon the church the riches of the Spirit's power. And under the influence of the Spirit, words of repentance and confession were mingled with the songs of praise for sins forgiven Words of thanksgiving and of the prophecy were heard. All heaven bent low to behold and to adore the wisdom of the matchless, incomprehensible love, lost in wonder. The apostles and disciples exclaimed, "Herein is love." 1 John 4:10. They grasped the imparted gift, and what followed? Thousands were converted today. The sword of the Spirit, newly edged with the power and bathed in the lightnings of heaven, cut its way through the unbelief. Testimonies 7, page 31. For the hearts of the disciples were surcharged with a benevolence so full, so deep, so far-reaching, that it impelled them to go unto the ends of the earth, testifying, Elohim forbid that we should glory save in the crucifixion of our Master Yahshua Messiah. They were filled with an intense longing to add unto the congregation such as should be saved. They called on the believers to arouse and to do their part, that all nations might hear the truth. And the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Yahweh. That's 7 Testimonies 31. The same power to be revealed today by the grace of the Yahshua. The apostles were made what they were. It was the sincere devotion, an humble, earnest prayer that brought them into the close communion with Him. For they sat together with Him in the heavenly places. They realized the greatness of their debt unto Him. By the earnest, persevering prayer, they obtained the endowment of the Holy Spirit. And then they went forth weighted with the burden of the saving souls, filled with the zeal to extend the triumph of the cross, and under their labors, many souls were brought from the darkness to the light, and many congregations were raised up. Testimony 7:32. Shall we be less earnest than were the apostles? Shall we not, by the living faith, claim the promises that moved them for the depths of their being to call upon the Master Yahshua for the fulfillment of His word? Ask and you shall receive, John 16:24. Is not the spirit of Elohim to come to today, and the answer unto the earnest, persevering prayer, and fill man with the power? Is not the Elohim saying today to his praying, trusting, believing workers who are opening the scriptures unto those eager of the precious truth they contain, "Though I am with you always, even at the end of the world"? Matthew 28:20. Why then is a congregation so weak and spiritless? As the disciples, filled with the power of the Spirit, went forth for the proclaiming of the gospel, so the Yahweh Elohim servants are to go forth today, filled with an unselfish desire for the giving of the message of the mercy unto those who are in the darkness of the error and unbelief. We are to take up the Master's work. Okay, let's do that again. We are to take up the Yahshua's work. He gives us our part to do in the cooperation with Him. And He will also move on the hearts of the unbelievers to carry forward His work in the regions beyond. Also, many are receiving the Holy Spirit, and no longer will the way be blocked by the listless indifference. Testimony, Volume 7, 32. Why has the history of the work of the disciples as they labored with the holy zeal, animated and vitalized by the Holy Spirit, been recorded? If it is not that from this record, the Master's people today are to gain an inspiration to work earnestly for Him. What the Master did for His people in that time, it is just as essential and more so that He did for His people today. All that the apostles did, every church member today is to do. And we ought to work with this much more fervor for the accomplishing, to be accompanied by the Holy Spirit in as much great measure as the increase of the wickedness demands a more decided call unto repentance. 17:33. Everyone on whom is shining the light of the present truth is to be stirred with the compassion. For those who are in the darkness from all believers, light is to be reflected in a clear, distinct rays. A work centered that which the Master did through his delegated messengers after the day of the Pentecost he is waiting to do today. At this time, when the end of all things is at hand, should not the zeal of the congregation exceed even that of the early congregation of the apostles? Zeal for the glory of the Elohim moved the disciples for the bearing witness unto the truth with a mighty power. Should not this zeal for our hearts with the longing to tell us the story of the redeeming love of Yahshua and Him crucified, should not the power of the Elohim be even more mightily revealed today than in the time of the apostles? 7T33. Giving the disciples further directions, Yahshua said, "You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Acts 1:8. Luke 24:49 and 8:15. In obedience unto the word of their master, the disciples assembled in Jerusalem for the waiting for the fulfillment of the Elohim's promise. Here they spent 10 days, days of the deep heart searching. They put away all differences and drew close together in Christian fellowship. 8:15-2. At the end of the 10 days, Yahshua fulfilled his promise by a wonderful outpouring of his Spirit. Suddenly there came a sound from the heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. All right, let's do that again. At the end of the 10 days, the Yahweh Father, Elohim, fulfilled his promise by a wonderful outpouring of his Spirit. Suddenly there came a sound from the heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Acts 2:2-4:41. Testimonies, volume 8:15. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Master working with them. Let's do that again. And they went forth and preached everywhere with the Yahshua, Messiah, working with them, and confirming the word with the signs following, Mark 16:20. Notwithstanding the fierce opposition that the disciples met in a short time, the plan of salvation of the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua of the kingdom had been sounded unto all the inhabited parts of the earth. 8:15. I added that brother the everlasting covenant of Yahshua because, let me tell you something, just to say, in a short time the gospel of the kingdom had been sounded. Well, this is true. The good news of the plan of the salvation through the redemptive power of the brother of Yahshua, yes. But that's very powerful when you put that into people's mind. That it's the blood, the power, and the blood of Yahshua that accomplishes that. For the commission given unto the disciples is given also unto us. Today, as then, a crucified and risen Savior is to be uplifted before those who are without Elohim and without hope in the world. The Master calls for pastors, teachers, and evangelists. From door to door, his servants are to proclaim the message of salvation unto every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. The tidings of the pardon through the Yahshua are to be carried. 8:15-5. Not with the tame, lifeless utterance in the message to be given, but with the clear, decided, stirring utterances, hundreds are waiting for their warning to escape for their lives. The world needs to see in the apostolic and typical apostolic believers in the Yahshua an evidence of the power of it says Christianity here. Christianity has no power at all, is what I'm trying to get at. The power of the preaching of the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua. There's your power. Anytime you use that word power, you should, some way, somehow, you should follow it with blood. Not merely in a few places, but throughout the world. Messengers of the mercy are needed. From every country is heard the cry, come over and help us. Rich and poor, high and low, are calling for life. Men and women are hungering for the truth as it is in Yahshua. When they hear the gospel preached, okay, let's not do this again. When they hear the plan of salvation to the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua preached with power, there it is, there that word power, from on high, they will know that the banquet is spread for them and they will respond unto the call. Come, for all things are now ready. Luke 14:17, 8:16. The words go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. Mark 16:15 are spoken unto each one of the Yahshua's followers. All who are ordained unto the life of Yahshua, ordained for the working for the salvation of their fellow men. The same longing of the soul that he felt for the saving of the lost is to be manifest in them. Not all can fill the same places, the same place, but for all there is a place and a work. All upon whom Elohim's blessing has been bestowed are to respond by the actual service. Every gift is to be employed for the advancement of his kingdom. 8:16. The sanctuary system, by MLN Vision 2:20, Pentecost is symbolic of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. As the wave loaves were offered 50 days after the wave sheaf was presented, so there were just 50 days between the resurrection of the Yahshua and the outpouring of the Spirit on the Pentecost. Acts 2:1-4. 40 of these days Yahshua spent on earth instructing and helping his disciples. Acts 1:3. Then he ascended, and for 10 days the 11 disciples continued in prayer and supplication until the day of the Pentecost was fully come. With Pentecost came the fullness of the Spirit. Then 10 days were important ones for the church on earth. They were also important in the heaven when Yahshua ascended up on high. He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Ephesians 4:8. Those who had been raised at the Yahshua's death and had come out of the graves after his resurrection ascended with him into heaven and were then presented before the Father as a kind of first fruits of the resurrection. Well, let's do a little bit better than that. First fruits of the dead and at the resurrection of the Yahshua. Matthew 27:52-53. All heaven was waiting to welcome the Savior into the celestial courts. As he ascended, he led the way, and the multitude of the captives set free at his resurrection followed. The heavenly host, with the shouts and acclamations of the praise and celestial song, attended the joyous train. As they draw near to the city of Elohim, the challenge is given by the escorting angels. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up your everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Joyfully, the waiting sentinel respond, who is this King of glory? This they say, not because they know not who he is, but because they would hear the answer of the exalted praise. Yahweh strong and mighty. Yahweh mighty in battle. Now, you know this, Yahweh is wrong. It says the Yahshua strong and mighty. Yahshua mighty in the battle. Because in Revelation 19:11, it shows the Yahshua riding forth on the white horse with a sword in his hand, coming to do battle. All right? Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, the everlasting doors of the King of Glory shall come in. Again is heard the challenge, who is this King of Glory? For the angels never weary of hearing his name exalted. The escorting angels make a reply. The Yeshua of the host, he is the King of Glory. Then the portals of the city of the Elohim are opened wide, and the angelic throng sweep through the gates amid a burst of the rapturous music. There is the throne, and around it a rainbow of the prophet. There are cherubims and seraphim, the commanders of the angel host, the sons of Elohim, the representatives of the unfallen worlds are assembled. The heavenly council before which Lucifer had accused Elohim and the sun, the representatives of those sinless realms over which Satan had thought to establish his dominion, all are there to welcome the Redeemer. They are eager to celebrate his triumph and to glorify their King. This brings the close of our study. This hour, contact us at the 11th hour. Call us. Number 11, click on the audio archive. We'll close the service now with a song that I've written entitled, Come to the Banquet and Dine. In this old world, there's a great anticipation for the grandest event of all time. For the saints to be gathered to the city of Yah and there to meet with the Savior and God. Oh, won't you come to the banquet and dine? Your Savior is to greet you, lift your head out of the light. If you still change the waters to wine, so come everyone to the banquet and dine. For a long time the saints have been waiting to receive their call from the grave, to receive the reward and glory, and to praise on his mighty to save. Oh, won't you come to the banquet and dine? Your Savior is to greet you at the head of the line. If you still change the water, come, everyone, to the banquet and dine. As the angels go forth, they have a duty to perform. Send her young lost servants and do them no harm. For they have a last work to do for humankind, so they all can be gathered to the banquet and dine. Oh, won't you come to the banquet and dine? The Savior is to reach you at the head of the line. You can still change.